That's tomorrow, and that is it.
Again, 5, 4.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a, I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
End of day.
You're here. Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who it's by. We don't care if it's true. Just say it, sell it. Anything you practice, you'll get good at. Including
in, what was it, 1997, Michael?
And welcome to a brand new life, to a brand new day, all the way from the wastelands of California. My name is Michael, and I'm a mere figment of your imagination. I look forward to, once again, serve you those sounds of salvation. First-time listeners, turn on, tune in, and drop out. This is a different kind of show, a place where we don't feel so alone. Let us chase away the light no matter what you at home choose to believe. I do admire you for your curiosity. Live and direct right now on the TuneIn Radio app. Search End of Days and you'll find the 24/7 network. My guest tonight is Scott Bennett. Mr. Bennett is an author and a former U.S. Army Special Operations Officer and a global psychological warfare counterterrorism analyst. Once again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me into your hearts and into your minds. Here we are again on a night like this. Welcome back to another dose of the Michael Deacon program. Tonight will be a bit of a rattlesnake. Always an honor and pleasure to be here. Thank you to those listening here in America and those outside of America for the great support. It's been a good time here. I do appreciate all of you out there. All of those efforts to be here. Those in the East Coast who stay up late to listen to me, I appreciate that. Those on the West Coast, the same. Lots of dark matters to decipher here with Mr. Bennett, who is patiently waiting. Let's patch him in. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are we doing, Mike?
I am fantastic. I can't complain.
Good.
Yes.
Michael, you can hear me fine.
I hear you just perfect now.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So how are you, by the way, Scott? How was Thanksgiving?
Well, life is good. Life is getting exciting. Thanksgiving was good. It's always nice to celebrate the miraculous origins of our country and give thanks that we're unique, and it gives us the hope and the courage and the stamina to preserve that uniqueness. So family is very important to that. And then now, of course, life is getting really exciting with some of the current events that we see going around the nation's capital with Michael Flynn and Trump and Covington and Burling and all that stuff that I sent you the article about. So I think now is the time for real patriots to stand and speak the truth. So I'm glad you're having a forum, and I'm honored to be on with you.
Oh, thank you so much. And, of course, so much to get into. Of course, we'll go over the article you wrote. But before we do, can you tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself? And I must say, you are one of the most interesting guests I will definitely be having on here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. The best way for people to be introduced, you know, to me, for those who may not know me or the background, is to go to my website, which is www.shellgamewhistleblower.com. Shellgamewhistleblower.com. And the military whistleblowing report that I wrote back in 2012 is entitled Shell Game. And it's on Lulu.com, and people can just Google it, Shell Game by Scott Bennett. And it's a military whistleblowing report to Congress about the terrorist financing involving Swiss banks, Union Bank of Switzerland, the Clinton Foundation, the Swiss banker Brad Birkenfeld, who had been targeted by Edward Snowden and the CIA when Snowden was back in Switzerland. Snowden also worked with me at Booz Allen Hamilton. He was doing cyber operations, and I did psychological warfare, but we ran in the same circles. And Snowden's connection to Birkenfeld and Birkenfeld's connection to me and our connection to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, who provided Brad the original cables of the Hillary Clinton terrorist financing scams and acts of treason. Is really one of the greatest stories of government corruption that you could imagine. And, that's just starting to break out now. It's been starting since 2012, but it's really coming out now with, you know, last summer in particular with the WikiLeaks revelations and the Podesta emails and all of this trove of communications from the Clinton Secretary of State position. All of that is a story that if people read into and they know what really was going on in 2009, throughout the Obama administration, they would be absolutely infuriated. And that's what we've been trying to do, is just educate people on shell game and the terrorist financing involving Libya and Syria, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the Clinton Foundation. All of the stuff that Sean Hannity and these guys talk about, you know, in one sense, they're just scraping the top layer of the cake. And we've been giving this material out since 2012. And in fact, we gave it to Hannity. We gave it to O'Reilly. We gave it to all the people at Fox News, as well as the mainstream media. And none of them did anything, except two journalists that were really CIA operatives.
That's not surprising to hear. Yeah, that's not surprising to hear, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, it was surprising and horrifying to experience, because I experienced it firsthand when they came and met with me, because, you know, I'm an above board person. I'm a patriot. I'm a military officer. I took my oath to the country seriously.
Right.
And I expect everybody else to take that oath seriously. It's not a game. It's not a career. It's not a social service organization. It is the United States military to destroy our enemies. Not to go on endless wars, not to go around the world and try and be a policeman, but to destroy people who are trying to destroy us. And I discovered, you know, besides the fact that a lot of that was lies and contrived, but no one was really serious. And worse, they were involved with high-level corruption. So yesterday's story of Michael Flynn and Covington and Burling, his law firm, I just felt provoked to write that article to say, here's the truth that no one else on the planet is willing to talk about, but I'm going to put it out there. And now you'll see all sorts of people say, yep, Bennett is absolutely right. Covington and Burling, Flynn, terrorism, Michael, James Comey,
yes,
and Mueller, all of these people are about to fall.
Seems like a lot of people are kind of confused about everything that's going on. It can be overwhelming. There's so many different stories coming.
That's their objective.
Yes.
That's their objective, is to confuse people. And they have to, really, to be honest with you, Mike, people have to be smart enough to write it down, to get a whiteboard or get a big, you know, piece of paper, 11 by 17, and get a pencil and keep it sharp and start to draw diagrams and schematics and pictures about all of this stuff, because it's the only way to keep it. If you're into politics, if you're into the heart and soul of our country, if you're into your own freedom, if you're into prosecuting traitors and criminals, if you're into defending your children and our future and averting a tyranny in a police slave state like Clinton and these liberal fascist and Antifa type are trying to push us into, as well as the Zionist neocons try and push us into, if people are really interested in this sort of material, then they need to draw it out and schematicize it so you can link and connect all these dots, because it is overwhelming. You're absolutely right. I know I live it and breathe it, so it's sort of, you know, it's in me. But people, you know, I'm happy to help. That's really what Shell Game is. It gives people.
Great book, by the way. I read some of it.
The weapon. Thank you.
Yes, there's so much to get into, and we definitely don't have enough time. You've done a lot as a whistleblower and, of course, wearing the uniform. I, of course, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes. And, of course, I first heard of you through Mr. Fetzer.
Yep.
Jim's
a great guy.
Really great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I'll tell you, Mike, it's fascinating that the alternative media is such a powerful instrument for the salvation of this country in a political, social sense. I mean, I'm a solid Christian, and I know salvation is of God, but our political social salvation, which is also of God, is also dependent on leaders standing up and speaking the truth, leaders calling others liars and criminals when they do deceitful and criminal things. And the internet and your show is a great example, the alternative media, leaders who are standing up with their own radio broadcasts, their own YouTube channels, their own blogs. We're able to get the truth out about some of these issues, about Korea, about Iran, about Russia, about Clinton, about Trump, about Trump's people around him, about some of the stupid things he's doing and the good things he's doing.
Right.
I mean, I voted for Trump because I knew Hillary Clinton would destroy the country and take us to war. That was my personal opinion.
Do you think Trump, we would, by the way, Scott, do you think we would be at war currently if she was our president?
I wouldn't doubt it because she's got no conscience or humanity in her. She has this, I mean, I've met her personally and I've been in Washington from 1998 up until, you know, I was sent to the Island of Misfit Toys by the Obama administration in July of 2011. But I worked in the highest levels of politics in the Republican establishment and the military and the defense contracting world. And I ran across Hillary Clinton and she is absolutely consumed with material and pleasure and wealth and sexual gratification. What you see inside her soul is not what you see on the television. And I think a lot of people know that. I think a lot of people do the research and know she is a vicious, lesbian, vindictive, angry, power maniac. And you've seen glimpses of it when cameras are left on and no one knows the tape is running. But I to make a long story short, I think we would possibly be in war. And, you know, that's very sad and scary.
Oh, yes.
You know, the American kids, even in Syria, Mike, look, we're not supposed to be in Syria. It's against the Constitution. It's completely illegal. We've been funding and financing these Saudi Arabian savages who are causing all sorts of hell up in Syria. They're the ones who are killing Christians. That's one thing that really aggravates me about Trump. He is saying the stupidest thing when he says the Syrian President Assad is beheading Christians. That is a lie. That is absolutely false. Senator Dick Black, who knows me personally, will say that. Tulsi Gabbard will say that. Syrian Bashar Assad and the Syrian people are not beheading Christians. It is the Saudi Arabian ISIS Wahhabis that are burning Christians, killing, beheading people, throwing acid in women's faces, and raping boys. These are the monster savages, not the Iranians, not the Syrians. And these animals that are coming up into Europe from Africa and Pakistan and all of that stuff, these savages that are flooding up into Germany and France and Scandinavia, they are Wahhabis. And the Wahhabi is the Muslim that believes you either convert, excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
No problem.
The Lord's talk. You either convert or you die, or you pay the slave jinzi tax. That's the three choices you have in the Wahhabi Muslim religion. And we've got that so backwards because we're trying to pick fights with Iran. And
right.
Iran is not the enemy of the United States. They are the mature, sophisticated Muslim. Russia, of course, we shouldn't even be picking fights with them. But we've been siding with Saudi Arabia, and it really is coming back to haunt us.
We know through WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton received money from and supported nations that she knew funded ISIS and terrorists. Do you believe that to be a fact?
Well, I know it's a fact because it's something I did when I was at U.S. Central Command in a military capacity. I had a top secret clearance. I never reveal anything classified, but I worked in terrorist financing for U.S. Central Command, Booz Allen Hamilton, the State Department Counterterrorism Office, Special Operations Command. I was the liaison officer for SOCOM. And I know for a fact that Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation were doing deals and money laundering for Saudi Arabia and Qatar and other countries. And that money was going into instruments and bank accounts such as Abdullah Aziz, which is a major terrorist financier, into foundations like the Optimus Foundation and many others that Union Bank of Switzerland and the Swiss banks would then use to funnel money and funds into Turkey, Syria, Libya, I mean, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, anywhere in the theater of the Middle East. And Hillary Clinton was, for example, Shell Game, the book will disclose 19,000 Swiss bank accounts were turned over to the United States government by Brad Birkenfeld, the Swiss banker that had been targeted by the CIA and Edward Snowden back in Switzerland. Brad picked up his suitcase and ran to the United States to try and dump all of this material. He knew he was being targeted by the CIA. He knew he had, you know, his best policy of living was to be completely transparent. So he ran over here and tried to dump it all. Hillary Clinton, here's where we get into the Covington and Berlin connection, Mike. Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Lanny Breuer and Loretta Lynch all entered into a conspiracy to confiscate these bank accounts, throw Brad Birkenfeld in prison, and Covington and Burling, the law firm that represented Union Bank of Switzerland and represented Saudi Arabia and Qatar and these other Middle Eastern countries, because it's a massive law firm, they all were party to this massive conspiracy, this massive arrangement. And Covington and Burling is the law firm that represents Michael Flynn. So now you see the law firm that represented Flynn, that's told him to take a plea deal, is the same law firm that worked with Hillary Clinton, that advised Hillary Clinton. Stuart Eisenstadt is one of those lawyers. Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer worked for that law firm before they joined government and then returned to that law firm and worked there now after they left government.
It's funny you mentioned It's funny you mentioned Eric Holder. That's a name we don't hear about anymore.
Well, that's it. I anticipate that Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, Loretta Lynch, Roger Zackheim, Dove Zackheim. Dove Zackheim is the Pentagon comptroller when $2.3 trillion went missing.
Right.
He's also my boss.
Oh.
He was my boss at Booz Allen Hamilton.
Uh-oh.
He did all of the terrorist financing down at U.S. Central Command. And his son, Roger Zackheim, was the attorney at the House Armed Services Committee. And when I was submitting whistleblowing reports about all of this, I was sending it to the House Armed Services Committee. Well, now we got Roger Zackheim stopping those reports, and then he was hired by Covington and Burling. So this law firm is really where all roads, you know, it's sort of like the center of the spider web. But Covington and Burling plays a major role. Eric Holder really was behind the Justice Department prosecution of Birkenfeld. And Eric Holder, of course, has got a whole criminal rap sheet about him from Fast and Furious and all sorts of other things. But I think all of this is going to snowball now that the Russian thing is coming out, that there's no Russian collusion, that whole premise of Russian hacking was false. WikiLeaks has confirmed that. Seth Rich, the DNC staffer who downloaded the material, gave it to Craig Murray, the British diplomat, who then in turn gave it to WikiLeaks. All of that misses the mainstream media and thereby misses the American person. The average American doesn't know this.
No, not at all.
But your listeners do, Mike, because they're the above average American. The listeners to your show are the leaders that really, I hope in this broadcast, are going to be schooled and educated and brought up to speed that this massive conspiracy, this massive crime that you're starting to see unfold, is really going to go nuclear pretty soon.
Yes.
Things are going to get really dangerous.
And it all started with censorship of freedom of speech, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which is awful, and that's a whole nother issue. But I just wanted to go back in time really quickly with you, Scott. And I was curious, what was it for you that made you question the official narrative to so many stories?
Well, I went into the United States military after I finished my, you know, when I finished my master's, I was just going into my PhD program when September 11th hit. And my master's thesis was in psychological warfare and economic development. And I did a paper for the CIA and I worked with USAID and I'd been over to London and worked with MI6 and MI5 and worked with Oxford Intelligence, and I worked with a lot of high-level organizations, and I came back and September 11th hit, and I bought the story that everybody else bought. I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought, a couple planes hit the World Trade Center tower. It was a bunch of Muslims from Saudi Arabia. Now I'm going to go kick some butt. Now I'm going to go join the military and just thrash and destroy these people. And I went into the military, all the recruiters, and I looked, and I just started my PhD, and I thought, you know, I need to go in, but I want to finish my doctorate. I want to go into psychological warfare. You know, I just started this whole level. So it wasn't until I finished most of my doctorate, and then I was tapped by a guy named Colonel Jeff Jones to join Booz Allen Hamilton and go into the psychological warfare community. And I'd get a commission as an officer, and I agreed to do it. I because I believed that it was a true mission.
Understood,
and I went
yes.
in and I served. And it wasn't until, you know, and it's kind of a long story, and I won't belate it because, you know, we don't have too much time for it. But the whole story of Shell Game is sort of, you know, my experience going into the military, fighting the good fight, And then finding out Dov Zakheim and Booz Allen Hamilton and many people in the military and the defense contracting realm were scamming the American people, were stealing and redirecting money and all sorts of weaponry and just being contractor fraud persons and activities. And I started drawing attention to it. I started writing reports. I started asking questions. And I wrote a report about how if we changed the homosexual rules in the military, how it would decimate our military because the best people in the military would leave and the Muslim enemies around the world would be inspired to recruit more suicide bombers because they'd suddenly have the armament, the tools to say the United States is trying to homosexualize our country. That's against Islam. So you have to join and fight them. So the whole Obama attempt to change the military and make it more, you know, homosexual friendly was a disaster. And I wrote that. And 1 month after I wrote my report, which was based on Heritage Foundation social science research, it wasn't an emotional, you know, anti-gay thing or anything like that. It was, look, the homosexual community and the transgender individuals have a high degree of various dysfunctions or psychological traumas or chemical addictions or abuses, or there's all sorts of social science data that indicates this would not be smart. And the moment after I did that, 30 days later, I was indicted by the Obama administration for making a false statement on a housing form that I'd filled out because I'd circled three bubbles that allegedly weren't true or accurate because my orders hadn't come down from the military. And I thought this is so ridiculous. It's got to be a test. It can't be real because never in the history of the country, I just can't imagine someone coming trying to charge someone with making a false statement based on a housing form that they filled out. So they have to be testing me.
That's outrageous. Yeah, that's outrageous, Scott, that they would do that to you.
Well, they did. And, you know, again, I thought it was a test. I thought it was going to be blown over. I was in shock. And I thought, no, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm expecting they're going to pull me aside and say, Lieutenant, you passed. Here's your mission. Here's what you're going to do. High level intel agencies or whatever. It wasn't until Donna Shalala's nephew, David Shalala. Donna Shalala was president of the Clinton Foundation. Donna Shalala's nephew was assigned to be my attorney. And he came in to represent me. That's why I thought, okay, this is really a high level job. Now I got Obama and Clinton's top level woman getting me her nephew. Yeah. All right, now they're really testing me.
You got some heat on you there, Scott.
Pardon?
I said you had some heat on you there.
I did. And I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. Everything's verifiable. Every document can be double checked and it all is in the book shell game. So people will go, wow, he really is telling the truth. Here's the paper trail to prove it. When I went to trial and I thought the whole thing was going to be thrown out, they indicted me, they charged me. It was a kangaroo court, and they found me guilty. And instantly, now look, I thought I'd be able to appeal. I thought I'd be able to meet with the military attorneys and say, whoa, whoa, hold on. There's a big mistake here. No, they took me right out of the courtroom and threw me in jail. And I was in jail for 6 months going around the country on a rickety old bus and finally wound my way up to this jail in Pennsylvania after being redirected. I was going to California. I was redirected to Pennsylvania. Why? I had no idea. But the next thing I know is I'm in the same dorm room and I'm introduced to Brad Birkenfeld, the Swiss bank whistleblower who had brought over the 19,000 bank accounts, who had brought over the WikiLeaks cables, who had brought over all of the intelligence for terrorist financing that the Saudi Arabians and the Qataris and the Clinton Foundation and the Justice Department and Senator Charles Grassley and all these other high-level individuals in the Congress, they were all wrapped up in this massive terrorist financing Swiss bank conspiracy.
Right. You guys were in the same dorm down the hall from each other, if I remember correctly.
That's right. That's right. You couldn't make it up.
That's crazy.
God works in miraculous ways.
Yes, out of all the people, you run into him.
Well, that's what scares the hell out of the deep state because they now know they're not messing with a single guy, a single officer. They're messing with something bigger than this world. They're messing with, in my spiritual world view, they're messing with the God of the universe because I didn't choose any of this. I didn't go there. This wasn't part of my plan. I was fighting the good fight to serve my country, and I wound up smack dab in the center of exactly precisely where I needed to be and what I needed to do my mission, but it was in prison. It wasn't in a skiff in Central Command. It wasn't in Florida. It wasn't in Washington, D.C. It was on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. And that's the miracle right there, because you couldn't make it up. You couldn't plan it. That's what scared the hell out of Michael Isikoff and Sam Hamburger when they came up to me and they interviewed me saying, how did this happen? Who are you? I told them the whole story and they said, why do you think the CIA would do this to you? And they never returned my calls after that. They never returned my documents. So I came to find out later they were actually CIA operative journalists. But, I mean, this was a miracle. So let me just answer your question. I didn't believe 9/11 was a false flag attack until I was in prison, until I had guys around me in prison saying, Scott, did you know this? Did you see this? Have you analyzed this about the buildings? Have you analyzed this about the Pentagon and the Building 7 and this and that? And you begin to assemble all this stuff in a quiet space, like John on the island of Patmos writing Revelation. I was in a prison just putting all this together, and it just struck me. It was like that moment of epiphany in the movie Pleasantville when you transform from black and white to full color.
Love that film, by the way.
That's what happens when you really understand the truth and you choose to face it. You choose to allow yourself to change. That's when you really become alive. Most people in America don't want to know this. They don't want to pull their head out of the sand. They don't want to question.
That's the problem, though, Scott, in terms of society. I've always viewed most of society kind of like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Lights are on, but no one's home.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. I think you're right. There's a timidity. There's an effeminization. There's a medicalization that's occurred in the country. People have become, fearful. They've become addicted to their chunks of cheese and their homes and their cars and their country clubs or their little, you know, basic jobs. And they don't really question. And I mean, what we're really drawing attention to, Jim Fetzer, myself, Michael J. Anderson, you know, people like Kevin Barrett, Alan Zabrowski, Richard Gage, all of the great research, Susan Lindauer,
great
a lot
people,
of us who kind of come together like various Indian tribes, if you will, we've all been identifying the greatest crime that's occurred in the history of humanity, because this is the greatest crime that has destroyed more human beings than any other act of violence in the history of humanity. The 9/11 attacks that were completely fraudulent, that were engineered by our own CIA, Mossad, and other intelligence agency personnel, that attack on 9/11, and you can just look at the science of 9/11, and you walk away saying the government narrative is impossible, because it's impossible for two big buildings to fall into a cloud of dust if they were hit by planes. And the planes would be found. There would be big engine parts. There would be tail sections. And they would have crashed into cement and steel and crumbled to the ground, because aluminum is hollow and weaker than reinforced cement and concrete. But that didn't happen. The planes disappeared into the solid steel and metal. Oh, and then they blew up and they miraculously melted the steel in a cold fire, not a white hot fire, because the smoke was black. It was a low temperature fire burning carpet and paper. And then the absence of porcelain bathroom and steel boots and the complete powderization of the buildings. And then Building 7.
Oh yes.
Free falling at free fall speed. All of these things might prove
outrageous
scientific impossibility that the government narrative is true. And that should offend every American, because the government's narrative took us to war. And this war has destroyed Libya, destroyed Afghanistan, destroyed Iraq. Now it's trying to destroy Syria. And they're constantly doing it in this, the sky is falling. The Muslim terrorists are upon us. We have to wage war against every single country that refuses to bow down and smile at us. And that's not what America is. That's not what the Constitution is. That's not what we can be, or else we're going to destroy ourselves. This is a national political suicide if we don't have a French Revolution moment and seriously adjust course. And I don't mean in a Jacobite, Antifa, left-wing French Revolution moment. No, I'm all in favor of conservative family, the principles of conservative Christian living. manifest as government policy. That doesn't mean waging war for Israel. That doesn't mean waging war against, you know, any of these Muslim countries. And
right.
It certainly doesn't mean waging war against Russia, which is the best friend Americans could have. The Russian Orthodox Church and people are not the Soviet Union. They are the conservative Russian people. And it is so incredibly amazing that we've got such stupid people, such criminals, such traitors running our government. But the only hope is the American people are going to wake up and run for office themselves or raise up people to remove these bad leaders. Because they're not leaders. They're just game show hosts with plastic hair and bleached teeth.
I'm going to have to agree on that one. Can't argue there. By the way, Scott, I did want to get your opinion on one Robert David Steele. Are you familiar with Robert?
You know, I haven't met him or talked to him personally. I've seen some of his videos and stuff. I know there are some people that say he's not real, that he's a plant, that he's a false dude, an agent, a suboperative. Then there are others who say he's not, that he's says the right things. I kind of withhold judgment a lot of those people because I listen for what people say. Are they speaking the truth? Are they saying things that make sense without creating any, maniacy or craziness? But I haven't heard anything coming out of Steele that is offensive to me or that's wildly crazy. I haven't heard things, aliens are coming down or things like that. Much like Alex Jones. I mean, I've heard people criticize him, but I listen to his words and I pick out the cherry pick things that I like and that are true and make sense. And Alex Jones says a lot of good things. My story was on Alex Jones a couple years ago, but they neglected to really get into it. They just kind of touched it superficially. And I never try and toot my own horn, but this whole story that Brad Birkenfeld and myself and Eric Holt and Edward Snowden and Julian Assange are connected to, this is the great story of the greatest corruption in the American government, because it started off in the Bush administration and it went through Clinton and Obama, and it's been continued now with the deep state attacking Trump and creating this propaganda about the Russians, and now Covington and Burling representing Michael Flynn. That's a huge game changer because Covington and Burling is a party. It is a criminal conspirator, and the courts need to be given that information in an amicus brief saying the evidence indicates Covington and Burling have committed ineffective assistance of counsel, and they have betrayed their client because they themselves are involved in the current Uranium One investigations that Mueller and Comey and Clinton and all of these other people are identified in.
You know, Scott, I want to be honest with you. I never thought Donald Trump would ever be our president. I got to be perfectly honest with you. Every time I thought of Donald Trump, I would think of reality TV.
Well, he's no Ronald Reagan.
Well,
that's for sure.
Well, that's true. You can't compare him to Reagan.
No.
But Trump, he's doing what he can. I would hope that's the truth, and I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. I don't like
I do like him better than Lindsey Graham. I like him better than John McCain.
We vote
for a president that represents 50% plus one of our values. We don't get anybody perfect. I mean, Trump says some things that I don't agree with. I don't like some of the stuff that Kushner has been pushing towards. I think, again, he's ignorant on a lot of this stuff. He's ignorant of Iran and Russia, and he's siding with the Saudis. But Trump also has some good instincts and insights. He's conservative Republican, so he's about marriage between a man and a woman in the military. He's not about transgender operations on military people and having taxpayers pay for it. He's not about lesbian, gay, LGBT, ABCD, EFG connotations being assigned to sexual identity and creating multiple bathrooms. Those are the things that Trump is on the right side of, where Hillary Clinton is on the completely wrong and opposite.
She's awful, though. I would have never supported her.
No, I don't think any sane person would, to be honest with you.
She stinks, I'm going to be honest. And, of course, 2017 coming to a close. What a year it's been. And, of course, what a year it's been for Donald Trump. And, of course, that audio came out with him and Billy Bush. I think that's kind of, I think that was kind of the first sign of things to come in 2017 with all these sexual allegations. It's been insane, especially with Matt Lauer.
Well, it's fascinating to watch and think because, you know, as a conservative Christian Republican, you know, gentleman, aristocrat, you know, raised with a certain value system by my family, and we all have been brought up a certain way. Those sorts of behaviors and actions are, you know, ugly and distasteful and are not gentlemanly. And they're animalistic. They're thuggish. They're just so obnoxious and obscene that the good men, don't do that. The good men don't associate with men who do that. They find it very demeaning and degrading to themselves. Never mind women. Good men don't want to associate with slutty whore like women who behave and want that either.
Right.
So it is a class issue. It's got nothing to do with ethnicity or race or anything like that because I was in the military and I had the political sector. I worked with black guys and the ones that I, you know, were friends with were complete gentlemen. So what we're seeing is all of the sexual indiscretions are done by Democrats, Democrat liberals. They've tried to say Roy Moore has done something. I don't believe it. I think that's all a bunch of bull and BS.
You think it's bullshit, Scott? You think that's nonsense?
I do. I mean, yeah, he may be from the South, and Alabama is mm-hmm. different than North Dakota, and they have got, I mean, Deliverance does have a certain truth to it in the
right.
old movie.
Right.
But I honestly don't think that Roy Moore story is the way it was portrayed. And I like Roy Moore. I like him because he had the Ten Commandments in front of the courtroom. I like that in a judge. I like a man who recognizes the core Ten Commandments as the best for human legal organization and living. I like that in him. So I don't think Moore had anything to do with this. But all the other people, Mike, you have Weisenstein. He's a Jewish liberal Democrat. You've got Matt Lauer, Democrat. You've got that ugly scumbag Franken, just a grotesque.
Oh, well, Franken, yes. He's awful, too.
He's a Democrat. You've got Conyers.
Right.
He's a Democrat. There is not one single Republican who has done anything of that sexual indiscretion. There was one Republican guy in Texas who allegedly took photos of himself and sent it to his girlfriend, and then they broke up later, and he's now embarrassed. But that's not sexual attacking people. That's
right.
Not abusing women.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all Democrats who behave like this. We're not even getting into the
It's a little fishy, though, all these allegations coming back from the past to haunt us in the present.
Well, it's you know, maybe it's a mass hysteria. Maybe you've got every woman who's ever been thorned or pissed off or scorned by someone
right.
suddenly standing up and yelling, yes, and I was hurt too. You know, I was stood up on a first date. He never showed up. You know, I was kissed and I didn't give him permission, you know, or he pinched my butt and, you know, who knows?
Is that you, Matt Lauer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Matt Lauer, look, I worked with a lot of young girls and interns and when I was in the Bush administration, really cute girls and stuff like that, but
right.
I never would lower myself to behaving like that.
Yeah, it's dangerous. That's dangerous stuff there.
Well, it is dangerous, but it's also obscene. It's also a gentlemanly. Look, I was raised the old school way that a man, a gentleman, is kind and loving and respectful and gentle and, you know, playful and friendly with young, you know, girls and stuff, but not sexual predatory. You don't
yes.
pinch their butts. You don't drop your pants. You don't do what Bill Clinton did.
Oh,
you certainly don't rape them. That's what Democrat liberals do, not conservative, Christian, Republican, libertarian types. Some do, okay, but they're not the people that I would associate with.
Yes, I'm not going to disagree with most of that at all. These people are awful. And, of course, I did want to get your opinion. Let's talk a little bit more about Fox News. I'm never going to be on the red eye at 3 a.m., so I feel pretty safe to talk about Fox News.
Yeah.
I'm still curious about the whole thing with Eric Bolling and who he was texting. Apparently it was other anchors that he was sending his genitalia to.
You know, I just, again, these people are mentally sick.
They
gotta
be.
These people really are mentally sick. They're lonely. They're desperate. they don't have love. They certainly don't have the love of God. What kind of a man would take a photo of his private genitalia and send it to a woman? A sick man. You know, and anybody who does that really is sick. I don't care what your claim to be on the television screen, claiming to be a Republican. Look, I didn't. Some things Eric Bolin may have said that, you know, I would agree with, just like O'Reilly. Some things O'Reilly said that I agreed with. I mean,
he's another guy who's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. But, you know, they get caught up in the sex thing and it destroys them, as it,
really,
it should.
Yeah,
you
it
know?
Really did.
I'm an old fashioned guy. The sexual dimension is between a man and a woman in the context of marriage, period. If you're not married, you don't go around, start sleeping around and messing around and treating romance and sexual activity like a amusement park roller coaster ride, like some sort of a, you know, pastime or something you do on the weekends. I don't believe in that at all. Marriage is the proper environment for affection, for sexual, expression. And the purpose, of course, is for family bonding, for the cultivation of children in the home environment, to create strong communities. When you start violating the sexual dimension, and this whole wave of lasciviousness and cheapening, the sexual intimacy, you destroy society. That's why, to a large extent, that's why you have so many young people today, Mike, who are so confused.
So confused, yes.
Their sexual identity. They don't know if they're a man, a girl, a boy, something half between. It's all because we as a culture in America have allowed this grotesque corrosion to get into our school systems. Our churches have been number one in the failure of America, because the churches are the institutions that are supposed to stand up and define our moral language, our moral subject matter, our moral orientation and identity, and how we relate to man, to God, to the environment, and how we express that in public policy and law. And our churches have turned into this fat, lazy, castrated, lobotomized group of retards that do nothing but have knitting circles and can drives for the poor ghetto kids, and they don't turn any attention to the management of our country or the management of our young people, and the emphasis on virtue. There's nothing like that in the American church today. It's a disgusting disgrace from what it was 100 years ago. And that's where judgment is coming on this country. And I hope and pray that real leaders are going to stand up and throw these game show hosts out of the church, because that's where our problems start. These politicians should be afraid of fire and brimstone pastors and preachers that talk the truth. And this whole sexual indiscretion thing, that should be trumpeted from these churches around the country in a way that inspires and scares the hell out of these politicians. But it's not happening. So the churches have no moral character.
Yeah, I certainly don't think so. Lots of Catholic church sex abuse scandals have gone rampant around the globe as well. No one's safe. No one's safe. We live in very corrupt times, very unconstitutional times, I would have to say.
Well, we have to get into creating our own communities, our new communities. And that means disassociating and cutting away from the poison gangrene lunatics and maniacs in much of society. And it saddens me to say, but there are a lot of mentally diseased people, physically diseased people too, but mentally diseased people that we, you know, have to separate ourselves from and create entirely new communities and segregate ourselves according to ideology and our value system.
Are you talking about San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco is one. I mean, look at what happened.
That's a zoo. That is a complete zoo there, I must say, Scott. There's people defecating in the middle of the street there. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all licensed under, you know, what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. And nobody has any right to tell us any different. There's no value system. There is no truth. There is no morality. It is this ideology of humanism and nihilism and materialism and hedonism that has consumed the Sodom and Gomorrah called San Francisco.
I agree.
And I live close to it, so I know it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to be and live in California.
Yeah.
It used
to be there is a new movement for the new California. There's a movement afoot, and people can go and Google it. New California. Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio has taken a great lead in a lot of this. And there's a motion and a movement in counties around California to separate and create a second state.
Yes.
Legally and law and constitutionally, this is not secession. This is a legal political mitosis similar to what they did in Virginia and West Virginia, North Dakota, South Dakota, North Carolina, South Carolina. This is going to be California and the new California, and it's going to separate the conservative counties who are ranchers and cowboys and things like that, separate from the left-wing liberal coast Hollywood types. And that's really taking a lot of that's getting a lot of momentum. So people should really look into that if they live in California and sign up their county to be part of the new California and separate from the fascism police state of regular California. Because look, they're forcing your kids to get inoculations that are turning them into retards, that are turning them into autistic, just schizophrenics, mandatory vaccine. Now you've got this rabid, wild environmentalism, and of course the high taxes and the anti-business environment. People need to separate and get out of that. And the way to do it is by creating a new California. And I think honestly it would be the greatest thing that could happen in the history of America, because you could be creating a new state and go back to the basics. You could reset everything back to 1800 and say, all right, here's the Constitution for the new California. Everybody can carry a weapon, and that means crime goes down to nothing. So everybody has the right to keep and bear arms. The federal government does not have any power or offices in the new state of California, other than what the state allows it, which according to the Constitution, were always army bases or Navy yards or things like that. So you don't have the BLM. You don't have the Bureau of Land Management, which came in and killed LaVoy Finicum.
Right.
And the BLM came in and threw the Hammonds and the Bundys in jail. The BLM officer, ranger, was the guy whose gun was found by the Mexican guy who killed Kate Stiley or whatever her name was.
Unfortunately,
that was a BLM
yes.
ranger.
Right.
So the BLM and the federal government, the only way to throw them out of our lives is by creating a new state. And that new state is resting upon the constitutional reality that the state has absolute power, not the federal government. The federal government is simply the expression of our agreement to form a union. It is not our master. And that's where people have been turned upside down. And that's where Republicans are just as guilty as Democrats in creating this. Rand Paul's pretty good. His dad, Ron Paul, is also pretty good. And Dick Black is great. And Tulsi Gabbard's great. But we need a lot more. And actually, I'm going to be running for Congress myself.
Oh, will you?
So I'm going to try everything I can to throw Marc Desaulniers out of office. And because he's a great traitor as well, because I gave him shell game and all of our material before Hillary Clinton's election. And he purposely sat on it and did nothing. So he's guilty of misprision of a felony. He should be prosecuted for not doing anything. And he should certainly not be elected to office again.
Well, I definitely hope you are the victor in that case.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Right. So it seems like we're still having a little bit of trouble with North Korea. Where do you stand with all of that? Do you think anything's actually going to come out of this?
Well, I don't think North Korea is a threat to the United States. I think they're just simply showing the United States that they are going to develop nuclear weapons to stop any future Libya operation or future Iraq operation that the United States might try and design against North Korea. That's the whole reason for their weapons. They're not going to shoot Alaska or invade California or try and send boats over to Hawaii. And they certainly don't want to create a colony on Guam. The North Koreans are, you know, we go back to the Korean War and what happened there, and there was a lot of bad blood, and we had a lot of responsibility in the totalitarian leadership that we erected in South Korea right after the before and right after the Korean War. So the North Koreans are their own people, their own culture. Yeah, they're backwards. Yeah, they're semi-retarded and weird in a lot of ways, but we certainly don't need to be going to war with them. We certainly don't want to risk a nuclear exchange where millions of people in Korea and Japan are destroyed. And we certainly don't want Russia and China to come against us in defense of North Korea, which they would. Because they are saying, we're not going to allow the Korean Peninsula to become destabilized. We are not going to allow hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Koreans to flood into China and destabilize China and cause a humanitarian disaster in China and different parts of Asia. We're not going to allow North Korea to be turned into some smoldering ash heap. And I think the Chinese are deadly serious about that. The Chinese, of course, have went into Syria with the invitation of Bashar Assad and are working with the Russians to stabilize Syria, to kick out all of them. And I just don't think Korea is going to be a problem. So I hope Trump doesn't try and make a fight with them.
Yes, and I see that we are definitely running out of time. But I do want to give you the last couple of words here. Perhaps give us a little end review of your own of 2017, Scott.
Well, I would just say people can go to shellgamewhistleblower.com and get the full report, Shell Game. That will arm them with everything that they need to fight back against the deep state and challenge their members of Congress. They can also find us on Revolution Radio on Wednesday and Fridays. And anybody's welcome to email me. My email is up on the website, shellgamewhistleblower.com. And get the report, Shell Game, and it will open their eyes and transform them from black and white into full color. And it's an honor to be on with you, Mike, because you're leading the fight by being a speaker of truth. And I know people appreciate you.
Well, I thank you for that. That's very nice of you. I have been called several things. Some things I'm proud of, but of course I'll continue to do the program no matter what. And I do thank you very much for being on the program. I will definitely have to bring you back. So I'll,
honor. Yeah, happy to.
I'll touch base with you again in the very near future, Scott.
All right, Michael. Thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless, Scott. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was Mr. Scott Bennett, folks. And looking at the time here, I'm not going to be on too long, but it's time to go on a little break. And when I return, got some things to talk about with you. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Sometimes it's darkest before the dawn, and this may be our wake-up call to never, ever let this happen again. We've become complacent in a lot of ways. We get stuck on our own little heads about what's real and what's not real, and we think our lives are not going to ever be affected by that, and no one's going to call us on it. But maybe this is a wake-up call that we, as a civilization, need to grow up.
And welcome back to the program, often imitated but never duplicated. Always so nice to see so many of you out there still locked in. Thank you for being here with me. Did you enjoy the break? I played a few songs there to set the mood. For those of you listening live, I hope you enjoyed the music. And those who missed the music, I wish you were here. I really do. Keep in mind the program is live 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the TuneIn Radio app. Simply search End of Days, and of course you'll find the program. I also want to thank my only advertiser, Ocotillo Liquor, right here in my own backyard. Great business, I must say. Go in there and say hi to Louie. Great guy. He truly is. Now, I did want to read a few more stories here before I read. You can join me as I talk a little of this and a little bit of that, or I'll do it alone. That number is 760-332-8724. Only using one line here. That number is 760-332-8724. Here's your chance to call in and yell at me if you'd like. That's always fun. I like doing that. You could play that game if you dare. Oh, yes. Now, earlier I was talking to the guest. Fun guest, Scott Bennett. I really enjoyed him. We talked about a lot of stuff about what's going on currently right now. We talked a little bit about Donald Trump. That's always fun. Truly is. Of course, you all remember his audio tape of him and Billy Bush. I had mentioned that was basically the sign of things to come. And I was correct on that. It really was. Now, everyone out there is under some sort of scrutiny. To be honest with you, people have already tried to Donald Trump me. People have tried to prevent me from getting gigs. It's true. People have sent in audio of me saying something they didn't like and try to prevent me from getting a spot here or there. Oh, it's true. But that's all right. I appreciate that. That's kind of cute. This goes to show you how nasty some people can be. That's okay, though. Don't get too worked up about it. Comes with the territory, in my opinion. Someone in the chat room was talking a little bit about marijuana. And that reminded me, marijuana goes legal in California on January 1st. For those who don't know, people have been asking me about dispensaries out here where I live, and there's only delivery services here in El Centro. There's no actual storefront, at least not yet. They're trying to get that going here where I'm at, but I don't think that's going to happen for a while. There's a town next door, however, a couple miles away. They're going to have a storefront, and I'm not even sure how that's going to work out. It should be interesting, but people are asking, can they walk into a dispensary January 1st? And the short answer, of course, is if you're over 21, I think you'll get some sort of temporary license from the state. I'm not exactly sure how all of that's going to work out, but you'll be able to do that. Don't worry. Lots of people want to get in there. It's pretty funny. Oh, yes, that person is named Dick Youngblood in the chat room. Great name. He said something about, oh, wait, that was Star. You also talked about not having smoked in years. And then this gentleman, Dick Youngblood, said something about it being very strong these days. And yeah, pot is very powerful, especially nowadays. It's remarkable, really. So yes, if you are out here in California, come January 1st, that you'll be able to do that, which is fine with me if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to stop you. Also, Cumulus, they are also in hot water. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy to reduce its debt. Wow. They, of course, are a major, major company that operates 446 radio stations statewide, and its well-known Westwood One provides syndicated content to 8,000 radio stations, the company reports. I've also had read that even though this is going to go on, business is going to go on as well. They're going to keep the wheels turning over there. A good indication that they've got deep pockets. Of course, I've been flirting with the idea of going to terrestrial radio. I've had a few offers in the past, but they weren't that great. Just pennies, really. And of course, if I would have taken those spots, I would have lived very miserably, in my opinion. I don't think I could even scrape by if I even took one of those jobs, really. So I had to turn down a few offers. No, that's not true. I'm not calling her out. I've toked before. I mean, come on. We all have. And that's another thing, by the way, going back to the whole sexual allegation scandal that's running rampant right now in the media. I've told all of you out there, I'm excited about this sort of thing. I wake up excited. I don't know who's going to go down next. I wake up thinking I'm going to go down next. Seriously, I really do. I'm waiting for something like that to happen to me. It's happening to everyone, so it's just a matter of time. And of course, I already mentioned how plenty of people have tried to prevent me from going here or there. But of course, they haven't yet. Luckily, I haven't been stopped completely. That's the scary part. When you've got heat with someone, you never truly know who it really is. At first, sometimes you'll find out, but of course, not always, folks, not always. And I'm still wondering about Eric Bolling, folks. Oh yes, I haven't forgot about him. I'm still wondering who it was that he sent his penis to, really. Sending those dick pics out there. Very interesting, and I must say, the women that work at Fox, they're pretty hot, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm not gonna be sending them dick pics. Especially in that position of power, when you're making that kind of money, it's just not worth it. It really isn't. And I've said this before in the program, guys out there, you probably shouldn't be doing that. It's going to be used against you, and it's always going to be used against you later on. Some of the things I've said years ago, they pop up every now and then. They truly do. And they try to bury me over it. Eric must have had a very big penis. That's what Dick Youngblood said in the chat room. You think so? You know, I was going to talk about his son the last time we were talking about Eric Bolling here on the program, but I just felt kind of bad even mentioning the guy's kid. And I'm still not. I'm not going to go into all these details I've read. And they're out there. If you want to read about his son, you can do that for yourself. Poor guy, though. Poor kid. Keep your junk in your trunk. Yeah, Dick Youngblood, I agree. You need to just keep it in your pants and don't go and do any crazy shit like Louis C.K. did, masturbating in front of women. And, of course, you have Mr. Weinstein. I think he was ejaculating on plants. This guy is awful, by the way. It's embarrassing, really. I feel embarrassed for a lot of people out there. A lot of creepy men. I'm a creep myself. I will admit that. A little creepy, that's true. And Star saying she forgot who Eric Bolling is. Don't worry, I think a lot of people are slowly forgetting who Eric Bolling is. It's kind of amazing, though. Lots of people still not talking more about Mr. Bill O'Reilly. I wonder what he did. Lots of money was paid out by Fox News. I think it was the last time I remember it was way over $50 million in sexual harassment and discrimination allegations. And I'm sure that number is a lot higher now. God damn, that's crazy. How about letting people watch you shower? I forgot who it was. It was some guest I was talking to and I said he watched me shower. That's pretty funny. But no, I'm not actually, I'm not into that. I don't want people watching me shower. It's pretty gross. It's pretty goddamn gross. I'm not going to ever do that. Definitely not going to do that. And I do want to mention James Fetzer will be on the program next Saturday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Definitely come in and hang out. I also want to thank all the international listeners, those in the UK and Canada for hanging out here. That's always fun, especially live. And Australia, I've noticed a number of you folks out there listening live. That is wild stuff. I never imagined some of these people listening to myself and the other voices that make their way onto this program. It's truly remarkable. I love it. Also, if you want to send me an email, that's michaelendofdays@gmail.com. If you have any comments or concerns, questions, anything of that nature, I'd like to hear all those things, really. I like the criticism. I'll answer all of those things. Once in a while, I'll do it on the air, but most of the time I run out of time. Just like now, I'm going to run out of time in a few moments here. But I must say, 2017 has been a bit of a rattlesnake, right? Could you have imagined any of these turnouts? It's pretty fucking crazy, right? Holy shit. I'm loving it, though. It's almost 2018. I'm excited. Always excited to be here. And always excited for you to be listening to this program. It's always fun. If you are listening to this, keep in mind you can listen every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's, of course, on the TuneIn Radio app. Great, great time. And I want to thank all of you for listening to this now. It's almost time to wrap up here. Remember to keep your eyes on the stars and your feet on the ground. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night, everybody.